Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. On KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative in Redondo Beach. Today's show is on planetary karma. We're going to talk about karma today and the metaphysical ingredients that have to do with why we are born to a specific chart and specifically what it means when we are born to a specific chart as far as planetary location and signs and houses and how they're aspected. So today is a great show for you to record to add to your astrological library. Well, first of all, the closest thing I can figure out as to why people have karma is that they make mistakes in past lives. We make mistakes in past lives, or in past existences, or in mechanizing and designing this dimension. We follow up. We take the dimension too personal. We get obsessed with things beyond the spirit. As far as I can see, well, I've really thought about karma the last 5 to 10 years. And I used to have all kinds of definitions about karma, but the closest thing I can come to in my current evaluation of what karma is I really feel that karma is an energy that is set out whenever you step beyond the spirit for any reason. I know a lot of people are going to say, Farley, that's weird. We thought karma was what goes around, comes around, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that sort of thing. And it's a return of energy and a return of a vibration. And I do believe that too, of course, obviously. But what I'm saying is you create this vibration and you create this return of energy whenever and if ever you should ever step beyond the spirit and place anything above the spirit. That should be pretty basically simple for all of us to understand. All right. And that basically means that if you are doing something in your life, like if you're on a quest for power or money or anything, any materialistic thing, anything in this dimension outside of the spirit that you place importance on beyond the spirit, like let's say the laundry, or let's say cleaning up your room, or let's say the dishes, or the swimming pool, or let's say the car, or let's say whatever. If you get into a position where you place priority on anything beyond the spirit, then that's when you accumulate a debt in what we call your credit bank of life's vibration. See, I think that what happens is when we incarnate, we drift away from the spirit into these little babies here on earth, and our whole lives, we strive and we fight to try to find out what is important, what has worth in life, what is the purpose of life, what is the mission of life. And while we are involved in struggling to this awareness, we make mistakes because we are conditioned and trained and we are subject to environmental situations that place importance on situations beyond the spirit, situations beyond the spirit. So obviously, if you ever do anything beyond the spirit, you can incur karma. The way you stay in this dimension, the way you are subject to concurrent many past life situations, is by constantly placing priorities beyond the spirit, and that way you create debts and credits in your soul bank, and that's why you keep coming back to Earth, because you like it here. Because Earth is more important than the spirit. Even though Earth has a spirit, it's more important than the spirit that you know about, so you keep coming back over and over again. Now people say, well, how do you get out of here, Farley? What's the secret to escape the third dimension? Well, that's very simple. Retain the spiritual priority. Never let anything rise up above it or well up above it. Never let anything well up above the spirit. And a lot of people say, well, Farley, what about my dreams, my goals? I want to get married. I want to have children. I want a house. I want a car. I want millions. Hey, well, that's karma. That's what karma is all about. You see, life on Earth is like a big game. Remember the game of life? That's very close to what it is. Except when you're born on the planet Earth, you deal with all this materialism, with all this obsession, with all this emotion, with all this desire, with all this avarice, and tons of vibration that keep you here. It's a magnet. It's like going back to the same bar over and over again. or an obsession with Disneyland, or an obsession with a massage parlor, or an obsession with Vegas. It's Earth. All these things are down here. Everything is a ride. And the thing is that, see, what people do not realize is that bliss is so utterly, spirit is so utterly blissful that it dramatically overwhelms any kind of emotional vibration in this dimension that you could ever possibly imagine. Spiritual bliss, true spiritual bliss, is so overwhelming and so powerful and so incredible that it blows me away to know how good it really does feel. For example, our program director, Jim Dulcey, is one of the few people I know that has reached that level of bliss. I have touched it. A lot of other people I do know have also touched that level and tasted it in meditation and prayer and visualization. And when you do reach that level, you realize exactly what the key to happiness and the purpose in life is all about. And that's what's exciting about this show, is because we're here to reveal that. Now, what about astrology? Where does astrology fit into all this? Well, astrology offers us a way to understand how we place priorities over things in this dimension beyond the spirit. Very simple. When you look at an astrology chart, when you analyze the astrology chart, any baby being born on this planet, on Earth, we can literally zero in on all elements that would be included in any type of conceivable Earth-type experience, right? So when you're looking at the natal chart, it is obvious to me, it is logical to me, that this universe, this dimension that we live in, is a huge magnetic device. We're talking mega magnetic device, and that the planets are literally used by the soul of beings on incarnation to help set up certain cosmic magnetic effects on the body, on the brain cells, on the soul, and literally those cosmic magnetic effects will result in us being impelled and also compelled to hang out with certain people, to be attracted to certain people and situations and interests and likes and dislikes and other things that would create karma, right? Or help us be confronted with an experience that will help us pay back or absolve a karmic obsession. It's not an accident that you want to get married or want to have kids, because these are the areas that you would have abused in past lives. So you're really concerned with getting involved with people and experiencing this type of pain again, so you can go beyond the spirit and understand it and learn it and pay it off and say, okay, I don't need that anymore, or okay, I can be married, but I'm not going to be obsessed with it, or okay, I can be in love or have children, but I'm not going to destroy the kids or destroy my life or hurt people because I'm upset or uncomfortable with what I've created. So today's topic is to help us understand, by looking at the birth chart, by looking at the natal chart, what type of things we have been obsessed with beyond the spirit in past lives. Let's take an example. Let's take a look at some examples here. Let's take the planet Pluto, for example, which is a planet which is second most farthest out planet next to Neptune. Even though it is small in size, it does have chakras and it does have dramatic effect on life on Earth concerning regeneration, reproductive system, genital region, sexual values, life and death, beginnings and endings, the alpha and omega factor in the chart. So I like to say, okay, that if you are smart enough in astrology to understand the term aspects, if you've read the study guide that we include with our charts called How Horoscopes Work, then you'll know that there are certain gravitational energies at play whenever anyone is born that are called aspects. You can call them geometrical aspects or angular aspects or magnetic aspects, but these aspects are energy situations that exist between the planets at birth. Now, there are free-flowing aspects where the planets are in a positive relationship to each other that we call trines and sextiles and some conjunctions, and there are non-free-flowing aspects when the planets are at odds with each other or when their orbits are at a mismatch or imbalanced energy pattern that we would call squares or oppositions or inconjuncts, also called quinxes. Now, obviously, logic dictates that if you were born with planets in your chart that were in a free-flow pattern with trines and sextiles, that this is going to represent some kind of positive energy, some kind of loving spiritual orb that surrounds you and that is given to you in your life to make your life easier, the free flow effect, right? And also a gift that would come with your soul from past lives because of deeds that you had done. That's why we call those aspects dharmic, D-H-A-R-M-I-C, our positive energy that we absorb and retain from past lives because of high spiritual qualities that we retain. The negative aspects are when the planets are at odds with each other, when they're moving around the sun, and from our point of view, also the Earth. The squares and oppositions we will call karma, because when planets are under square or opposition aspect, and usually that means that there's a planet in the sky, there are two planets in the sky, from our point of view, that are at a right angle from the Earth's point of view. Now, you all know what a right angle is. It's 90 degrees. If you went through high school or college, you should know. So if you have two planets in the sky, and we go with an 8-degree orb on any side, which means it's from 82 to 98 degrees, this angle, between two planets, that is called a square aspect. And that will typically mean that you had done something to yourself, a negative obsession with self that is not spiritual. Got it? Could be a sexual obsession, it could be an indulgence with food or drink or drugs or just being depressed or anxiety. Now that's where square karma comes from. When two planets are square, that is a self-imposed karma. Now all karma lies with the self because we are the center of the universe. We are the source of all light and love, and that everything is a reflection of the self. The karma lies at the center. So all karma is within the center of our own beings. The square aspect focuses on karma with the self, particularly the opposition aspect, which means we are born with two planets in the sky, one on each side of Earth, opposite each other, at a 180-degree angle. An 8-degree orb on each side would make it from 172 degrees to 188-degree angle, right? So you got two planets opposite each other with the Earth in the middle. That is called an opposition. And when we have opposition karma in our chart, that specifically means that we need other people, we need to create other people in our lives to serve as catalyzers for this specific karma that we had imposed in past lives. Because we served as catalyzers, manipulators, dominators, controllers, are aggressive, abusive, even murderous individuals, right? Where we hurt other people. And in this lifetime, we would come back with oppositions that would place other people in our lives that would be exact reflections of the negative part of ourselves from past lives. Is that simple? So getting back to Pluto again, if you have a square on your Pluto in your chart, one or more, then that could be a sexual or transformational effect, karmically speaking, with yourself, where you would abuse plutonic vibration, which would be either abusing the reproductive system in your body or other people's reproductive systems, or abusing sex, being obsessed with it. And because Pluto is a planet of power and rebirth, abusing it or preventing yourself from having the needed transformation you need, not being able to let go. And an opposition to Pluto would be catalyzing sometimes a violent ingredient in other people that we might be attracted to in our lifetimes, right? Or also catalyzing negative sexual elements in other people that we'd be attracted to. And of all the people in the room that we should be attracted to, if we have a Pluto opposition in our chart, we might pick the Jack the Ripper or the Jane the Bouncer, right? Or the person that would thrash us, either mentally, physically, or emotionally, from an intense emotional experience that the plutonic karma can bring on. See? Now, in the other words, if you have just trines and sextiles to your Pluto, hey, no problem. No Pluto karma. At least not in the natal chart. You can always have transit karma. That's a different story. We'll probably cover that tomorrow. But the natal karma tells us exactly what we brought back with us from all sum total of past lives and what the major areas or lessons we must learn depending on the squares, the oppositions, and the inconjuncts that affect the particular planets in our birth chart. Like, let's take Neptunian karma. If you have squares and oppositions to your Neptune, well, Neptune is already a planet that is pretty dreamy and pretty far out. So people that have negative aspects on their Neptune, squares or oppositions, for example, would be people that the karma is connected with what is real, what isn't real, whether people are dreaming or not, whether they're in a trance. Neptune also is connected to things like drugs and alcohol and strange illnesses and also situations that are usually not readily foreseeable. It could also be abuse, as far as occult abuse or metaphysical abuse, are situations that would normally result in you having to pay back a lot of pain, emotionally speaking. And also, Neptune is a strange planet because it is the Piscean planet. And usually what happens to us here is there's deception or there's lying of some kind on usually high levels, sometimes metaphysical levels, where situations are set up where we end up either being the victim or somebody else is victimized emotionally or physically. And usually there's a tremendous amount of emotional pain. We talk about Neptunian squares. Neptunian squares are so self-abusive. You know, people just thrash themselves when they have Neptunian squares. When you have Neptunian oppositions, then you have people in your life, and they thrash themselves. So there's a big lesson here in destruction with Neptunian karma. Now, Uranus is a very strange planet, because when you have squares to Uranus or oppositions to Uranus, then you're more subject to what I would call physical pain from accidents, like falling down, breaking bones, having any kind of automobile accidents, accidents around the home. Uranus also rules strange karma connected with relationships, like divorce, or in war, like surprise attack, or sudden death. And it doesn't mean if you have a square or an opposition to your Uranus, you're going to have a sudden death, but you might, depending on how reckless you are. A lot of people that are heavily Uranian do weird things like skydive or ski or parachute. And that's why they die. That's why they'll drive a car 150 miles per hour. They have Uranus oppositions. I don't have a Uranus opposition or a square. I'm a very cautious guy. So hopefully I won't have a sudden death one day. But I know a lot of people that have had afflicted Uranuses, and they're typically reckless people. That's their karma. Hope you're learning something today. We're going to come back and take a look at Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Mercury, the Sun, and the Moon, and the rising sign, as far as planetary karma, and very interesting topic today. And, you know, I do recommend that you do take this show as a class. The Astrology Hour is a very, very highly advanced show. If you're a new listener to the show, you might be a little blown away as far as the high-tech vibration that we discuss here in this show. Because what I do is I guide people away from sun sign astrology. Sun sign astrology in my book is like elementary school. It's like nursery school. And oftentimes people that are into sun sign astrology are still back there. You know, no offense to them, because I say all in its own time. So when you get to a point where you decide you want to go beyond your chart and look into your chart with planetary astrology, then I'm for you. The Astrology Hour was designed for you and your needs. And that's why this show is just like an astrological metaphysical correspondence course. That's why I highly recommend that people that listen to the show be patient, record the topics, send for your chart, pick up the suggested reading, and eventually you'll start getting it. And when you do, you'll feel good about it because you'll feel a lot smarter about it. Yeah, you know, basically when we talk about squares and oppositions, squares are karma with the self, and oppositions would be karma with the self as catalyzed by other people. Basically, Saturn is a very karmic planet. It is the planet of karma. So, if you have an afflicted Saturn with a square or an opposition on it, then you better believe that the way it is affected means this is why you were born. You were born to work off this lesson. So Saturn squares and oppositions will focus depending on what house, what sign, and what planet they are squaring or opposing. Like a Saturn square Mars lady, trust me, you got karma with men. And Saturn square Venus guys, karma with women. And Saturn opposed Mars, karma with men. Saturn opposed Venus, karma with women. Astrology is a science of fascinating combinations, and that's how we learn. Now, Jupiter is a very expansive planet, and it doesn't do well when it's poorly aspected, because Jupiter is an over-burning planet. It burns people out. So squares to Jupiter is like a super karmic aspect with yourself because you overdo things. And oppositions to Jupiter are major obsessions with life. So, and that's also people that have Jupiter afflictions would mean a need for space too. All right, so basically, if you have any squares to Jupiter or oppositions to Jupiter, then space and freedom and or philosophy, or possibly sometimes even sports or animals could be involved. Now, Mars often always means men. So if you are a gay man or a hetero woman, and you have a square or an opposition to your Mars, then your karma is relationships. And Mars is also a planet of health and energy, what we call strength, stamina, fatigue, that sort of thing, right? So effects to your Mars would be involved there. And also, if you have squares on your Venus or oppositions to your Venus, that would be a karma concerning money, love, values, worth, also nurturing, tenderness, kindness. And squares or oppositions to Mercury would put a focus on karma with short trips, brothers and sisters, psychological karma, mental anxiety, communications. And then squares or oppositions to your moon would be an emotional karma, sometimes, usually, often, always connected with the mother. Squares and oppositions would be also an emotional karma concerning your identity and personality and self-worth, often, always connected with the father. Then finally, squares in opposition to the rising sign would be specific karma with how you see yourself, levels of self-esteem, feelings of adequacy, self-love, and such as that. Now there, we're going to try and talk more about this tomorrow when I talk about transit planetary karma and what happens when the planets are set off by transits from moving planets in the sky.